good, but we have to do the best we can. Something you have to get a sense of. Take a few more steps forward here. You guys have actually been quite polite. There's usually so much, when we learn the sugya, there's usually a war that goes on here. It's late in the year, I suppose. Shtei brochas tiknu lani chachomim al mahiri machayim. Chazal were masakim, ancient Nesra Gedoyla, were masakim two brochas that encapsulate our lives. Everybody knows when something good happens, you say, Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. When something that's not good, we say, Baruch Dynamis. Let's try to understand it according to what he's saying here. In an Hagas HaMishpat, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu does for a Yid good, based on his deeds, he earned, he got just reward, Ramayil HaKodesh Baruch Hu Baruch HaZalkach, he says thank you to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and he gives him a bracha, Tov HaMeitiv. Luma Zoy Salaram, Avarach, Dayna Emes. When something bad happens because that was Megiyalo, he says, Dayna Emes. V'nishal Es HaShayla, V'ayara Hi Toiv HaGedoyle V'atzuma. It's old questions. If the evil, if the bad, not the evil, if the bad that's happening to me is so good, as we've spent the last few weeks showing and proving and internalizing, that all the yisurim and yisonis we go through is dafka for my good, and sometimes even better than when things are going well, I should make a tova meitiv on that as well. And a shaklalu b'yadeinu b'brochas. We have a klal in Yelchus Bros. That's an old question, yeah? It's a problem because the Mishnah says, Kashem Shavochen al Toiv came from Ochen al Aro. With the same simcha you made a brocha on the Toiv, you should make on the Ra. So then why are you making a brocha on the Ra? What's bad about it? If I'm a simcha, then why make a... Same question. Elish, a klal hu be a dayne be brochas. There's a principle in Yelchus Brochas. Ha brocha hu lefitam ha-meichel. The brocha goes after the taste of the food. It's all good and it's all wonderful and it's all infinitely for my benefit. Right now, what taste do I have? How does this feel to me? It feels bad. Is it koev? It doesn't feel so good. Hurt hurts. Through the time of what he's feeling. Who matstik alav es adin? He says, yo, magieli, this is good, akosh bochus dynamis, but magieli. Ula mitzad sheini, who musugala varech brozu besimcha. But as the Mishnah requires, you have to make this brocha besimcha. What's the simcha? The kavos was belev sholem, ku yodea v'chayes anhoga yichud shekole yisurim haim ach v'lak v'toiba. Because on the other hand, he's living anhoga sa yichud, that it's all for my good. Which means that there's two contradictory things going on here. The first is that I'm making the brocha Dina Emes because something what happened here tastes bad. Zekoev, this is suffering, this is not comfortable, this is not what I want. Mitzachen, he can make the brocha besimcha. How can he make the brocha besimcha? Because he knows ultimately this is the best thing that could be happening to him. Now we can answer my friend his question that he asked when he was sitting shiva for his daughter, remember? He's asked the question many times. I had a friend whose daughter was nifta, 18-year-old daughter was nifta. And when I went to Menachem Ovi, he's a big poisek, this guy as well, he's a dynam, this is basically whatever, very choshub young man. And there was another poisek came in to be Menachem Ovi, and he said to him, Al pi halacha, what am I supposed to be feeling now? Don't ask me how I'll be able to feel it afterwards. That's my problem. I'll go into my room and I'll lock myself in and I'll get the feeling sorted out. A peep sack, what's supposed to be feeling now? It's not a chad, I have to make a dynamics. But suddenly I have to do that besimcha. You tell me how to do that. I'm saying Bochtana Emes because it's bad. But that said, you've got to tell me that I've got to do it besimcha because it's good. No, if it's good, it's good. Make a tova meiti. Why am I making Tana Emes and then feel simple? Hashem, we can give an answer, no? You've got a good answer for him now. Babaya. Right now, you're sitting Shiva, you're in pain, and you have to mourn. And we see there's a thing called Hilchos Avelos. There's a Tisha B'Av and there's a Simchas Torah. And they're all good. Could be that the light of Tisha B'Av is even greater than the light of Simchas Torah. In fact, it is greater. Aval, there's a pain and there's a ka'ev, and on the pain and the ka'ev, that's what I feel. And the bracha goes off to the time. And I feel pain and I feel suffering, and it's human to feel pain and feel suffering. Mitzad Sheni, I know that this pain and suffering I'm going through is the best possible thing for me. And therefore, on that, I'm besimcha. Doesn't take away from the pain and suffering. The pain and suffering is over as a ko'ev. Mitzad Sheni, I know this is the best thing for me. And that's the shreyish of Kabbalah's Yisurim Ba'ava. Is Yisurim Yisurim? It has to be, otherwise not Yisurim. If the Yisurim's kef, if you're some kind of a crazy guy and you enjoy pain, well then the Yisurim is not Yisurim. The way you punish that guy is you take the pain away. you got a masochist. The way you punish him is by not beating him up. Yeah? So I know the pain's the pain. But he knows the pain's ultimately good for him, and it's coming from a loving, caring father, as a magisha tassim. It's not a stira. The din of mamaitim besimcha of av doesn't say get rid of simcha legamre. It says mamaitim besimcha. When you're sitting on the floor and Tisha B'Av saying kinnis, you're doing a mitzvah, and a mitzvah has to be done with a certain degree of simcha. And there is a certain feeling of simcha that comes when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. When a person sitting shiva, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, there is a certain simcha that's ma'ayir. The shir and how much, there's dinim and avelus, and how much simcha you're allowed to have, and when you're allowed to have, and what the shir of avelus is, and how those two live with each other. Aval, it's not a steer to the fact that if I know this is for the good, then I know this is for the good. Many examples, I don't have to give them to you. The kid who's got a Rachman Sanreto, and the mother did the exercise with him, and he's walking today, even though he was screaming blue murder when the mother was doing the exercises for him. Today he can walk. So if that kid, when he was screaming and shouting, would have been able to understand, he understands, it's good for me. He's screaming and shouting, yeah, but it's good for me, the pain. The mother who had Rachmanis on the child didn't want to put him through the screaming and the pain. Look, he can't walk today. Many, many examples. The surgeon that operates, wherever, Chazal give him many, many more. But that's the interface, the synthesis of these two anagas. Hanagas HaMishpat says, this is sore and it's painful, and it's got a bitter taste, so mate, Bruch Dein Emes. Matzdik the Din. Mitzad Sheni. This is all for my good. Ultimately, this is the best thing that could be happening to me now. And on that, I feel besimcha. Now, how you do that, you have to, you go into the room, lock the door, and get to a place where you can live with these two contradictory anagas. Ubaifen ze makayim hayudi kapshutim kamashmoy esmayim hachazal masechtis brochus kishem shemavaruch al toivais al toiva kach mavaruch al alo. That's how you makayim it. He's feeling tzar. You can't tell me to tell a yid who's just lost his daughter or just slammed his finger in the door or whatever Rahmanas son Yisurim has, why are you feeling bad? Like the Bocha that asked me once. If it's all for my good, why should I mourn my father's death? Should be happy. What if this is a Shiva for, and what do I need Shleishim, what do I need Yerub Avelis for, and why do I feel bad? Because that's human. A human being when he's in pain feels pain. When you don't feel pain when you're in pain, you've got a problem. Big problem. Whether it's physical pain or emotional pain, you're supposed to feel pain. That's human. Person has a tragedy, Rahman Litzlan, you're supposed to feel the pain. Mikol Mokum Yadeh Ki Kol Zehu Rak Hagosha Chitzoynis. He knows that's an external feeling. Bepnimi Yaseh Besafe Hanistaros Sheyesh Lo Imavim Sheh B'Shamayim. In this private hidden language that he has with his father in heaven. He knows that he's the only child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'kol ha'olam kulo kadai hu lo. V'bishvili nivroilam, the whole world's for me. L'chein vadai shelo yitain lo avu shebashmayim yusurim b'chidi. And therefore the yusurim I have are not for nothing. My father wouldn't give me yusurim stam. My father's not a cruel father. You know, a dysfunctional father what art in heaven. You know, that's not who Hashem is. What are you smiling at you this morning? What's going on there? Try my best jokes out of this, like, maybe I'll start saying depressing thoughts and you'll smile. I don't know. ולכן ודאי שלא ייתן לו אביו שבשמיים יסורים בכדי, ודאי הם אך ורק למען טובוס הניצחס. But for what? Eternal good. That's what Hashem's doing this to me. So, מצד אחד, I feel the pain. מצד שני, I know it's for the best. So I managed to integrate these two feelings of pain and frustration and ka'ev together with a sense of simcha. Anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever know what I've ever had this experience? You know this sense? Something's not happening the way you want it to happen. Something's going bad, but you know that ultimately it's for your good. And therefore, even though it's painful, you feel the good. The Weinsgut Galinsky, who was sent to Siberia, there were many like him. Come out afterwards, they realized that being sent to Siberia was the best thing that could have happened to them because it saved their life. Because the Nazis never got to Siberia, and even though they went through some kind of Gehenna in Siberia, but it saved their lives. Now at the time, they were Yidden, like the Yankov Galinsky, and they stood up Kolotova. Ketskolovansky was there, Ketskolovansky was in Siberia as well, like again.
So they decided they're going to at least pull the dresses. They did like two together on the sticks and so they took it in the spots because they didn't want to put the sentence to death.
Many stories like that. Many stories like that. So imagine in Siberia there's a Ryanka Galinsky who's going through pain and suffering, and you can't tell me there wasn't pain and suffering. Oh, but you will be vin. The Kolotova. If this is Raman Kodesh Baruch Hu, then this is good. What good? They didn't know at the time. And there's another kid there who's miserable and depressed, and why is Hashem doing this to me, and why I have to be in Siberia, and going through the same power and suffering as Ryanka Galinsky. If you would have shown him while he was in the matzav what's going to be, he would have been just as happy as Yankov Galinsky. That's what Betochen gives you. Betochen gives you the mila of having the thing that's good before you get it, even not knowing what it is, because you know that it's good. You're right, the simcha doesn't come automatically. Our job is not to be the simcha when we're inside. You're right, we're not there, we're not holding it. Our job is to understand. You didn't have to listen to the Bible, it's the top of your mind. The late day. The first thing you have to do is just intellectually stop thinking the thoughts. And slowly, slowly, those thoughts, auto-suggestion. Stop saying the thoughts. Auto-suggestion. You heard of auto-suggestion? Auto-suggestion. The more you say something, the more you believe it. Yeah, just 1 second. No, I don't know if it's got the same page as that I need. Maybe. Shin Ayin, just 1 second. I'm just not showing the Chavis Alavavis. I just don't want to show what's that one there? I'll find it. It's in Perek Dalet. Just 1 second. I know the page number. Shadalit is in. Ishtoiv, Oyvov, those that hate him and cause him tsar. Here we go. Okay, I've got it, Binyam. I thought I had it. Just 1 second. Oh, that's easy. Shouldn't I just
have because the tape on the side didn't have the.
Sorry, no, I just don't know where it is. Yeah, I think I know where it is. Shin Ayin. Right. He's describing the different types of talk and relations you have with different types of groups of people. Yeah, this is the guy, your wife and the children, people that are dependent on you. Now he goes into one like this. Ilo an hoga hanochay na klape oivov mekonam bevakshe rasei. What is the correct conduct, the correct talk you have to have when you're dealing with people that are your enemies, that are jealous of you, and a mevakshe? They're looking to do you bad. These guys are after you. Everything that relates to them, yivtoch al abayir esparach, v'tochen in Hashem, v'yizboil es ma Hashem alivin oisoy, and tolerate. Yizboil means absorb what they causing you suffering. V'al yigmo lehem k'maseyem, don't pay them back what they're doing to you. Ele yigmo lehem chesed, you do chesed for them. You do good for them as much as you can. And remember in your heart, in your mind. The Rebbe Gemara says, Liboy always means your head. That the benefit and the damage that's happening here, that's all given over to Hashem. If Hashem's using them as an intermediary to bring you damage, so you got to be give them and he should be choshed his meisim, and he should say, you know what, this is happening to me. And he should ask Hashem and damage to Hashem, and he should be his. When you behave like this, your enemies will become your friends. When a person when Hashem wants, then even the ways of a person will, even his enemies will become shalom with him. This is we can get rid of this very quickly by using the excuse. We're always using that by saying that's dargas, that's very high levels, and that's not for me. And we can move on. But some of us talk to everybody. So there's a couple of eights here. When somebody's doing you bad, so you're going through suffering. And according to what we're saying, you're going through, it's hard, it's suffering. So what do you want to do? You want to pay him back. That's the first response, right? I'll get you back. 1 second. Who's doing this to you? Who's the Baldova here? It's not him. Not him. Hashem's just using him as intermediary because of your virus. If you ask yourself, you know why this guy's doing this to me? He's a tzadi gobo. The reason why he's doing this to me is because Magali. Hashem's using him as an insoi to get my attention.
He's a tzadi gomer?
He may be a tzadi gomer. Everybody has married. Sometimes your wife's not that nice to you. She's not being the tzedakus of the door, no. She's the biggest tzedakus in the world. But she's being the biggest nudnik as well. Why? Magieli. And you have to have extra chorus of toif to her if Talba says. Why? Because when she's being a nudnik to you, she really wants to be a nice sweet bas Yisrael and do everything that you want. She's an isha kshayra. She wants to do rots and baile, but you're not letting her. You'll go to tshuva, she'll come back and be a nice sweet wife again. That's the theory.
The theory?
That's the theory. That's the how you practice that? No. But that's poshut. Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz miyirushamayim. Klapei me, nobody has bechira.
But Hashem chooses a good stick.
Maybe Hashem wants to give that person more schar, so he gets a person to do things that are not nice for him. He doesn't really want to do this. Oh, Hashem's magalgal, choyv al yedei chayev. There are many cheshbonos that Hashem has. But my perspective of this person is, he doesn't even exist. He's Hashem. So I deal with Hashem. And when I'm dealing with Hashem, so then I don't have to be angry with him, I don't have to cross with him, I don't have to be... Once again, you want to take it to 15, there are dini b'nai Adam that you're allowed to take against this person. Why that is, we have to discuss. That's not so posh. It was all from Hashem, and Hashem did everything. Why can you take him to din? Fine. Why does Paro get punished? Rabbah deals with them in the Shmoneh Prokim and other places. But that's not our subject now. Our subject now is Hilchos Betochen. Hilchos Betochen, I need to know, and that's what the famous prophet was saying here. This guy who's your enemy and he's trying to do you evil, it's not him, it's Hashem, and it's because of your avoidance. That's the first thing you have to know. No, if you know that, so then, and you're thinking that, and that's what he says here. Yiskor Belibor, remind yourself in your head. This is all from Hashem. When will that get internalized? It takes, we said right in the beginning, this is not one day, 2 days. Betochen and building betochen is forever. And as you get your new dagger betochen, Hashem's going to test you with a new set of circumstances, going to challenge you more. And as you grow, you're going to be more challenged. But the kunz here is Yisko, Beliboy, Tomid, Zemiaboy, Zemiashem. And at first it's artificial, it always has to be artificial. I call me Shamayim. At a friend, no matter what happened, you always just say, I call me Shamayim. While he was kicking and screaming and tantruming or whatever, you'd say, I call me Shamayim. And today the guy's mama is holding that. You say, every time you say, I call me Shamayim, you don't mean it, you don't believe it. Well, I call me Shamayim. Huh? The stick. That's what we're going to shut in Dorkum and Kelev. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a guy here who's in pain and he's suffering, and he knows in pain, he knows he's suffering. But at the same time, he wants to know and internalize Kashem Shavakalala Toipkan Rachalala. He has to make Baruch Daina Emes with the same simcha that he set up to Avraham Aitiv. How's he going to do that while he's feeling the tzar? We don't say he just walks away from the tzar and ignores the tzar. He stops and analyzes and evaluates that. I mean, tzar now, I've got suffering, this is because this is what Hashem wants from me. And this is good for me, and this is what Hashem's doing to me now. Why is he doing it? So, according to this, one aspect, because of my sins, I have to maybe stop it for myself, I have to improve my deeds, I have to do tshuva. Hashem's not just beating me up because he wants to beat me up. He wants me to do tshuva, he wants me to repair my ways. Very often, that's when suffering comes upon us, is when we need a little bit of a wake-up call.
So the guy's still in pain, still crying.
But he's in pain, and he's incredibly screaming to Hashem, that's what he says. He's not miserable, he's never miserable.
The pain is a miserable thing.
I don't mean miserable. When it used to rain, my Baba said, oh, what a miserable day. I don't know, the word miserable is a bad word to use. It's not a bad, it's a beautiful day, it just happens to be raining. Why does raining make you miserable? Because you want to play, because you want to go swimming and it's raining and you can't.
So you're in pain. You're in pain, so you're angry because you're in pain, but you still recognize that it must be suffering.
You're in pain and you're suffering. But you're besimcha, you're not miserable, you're besimcha, because you know that this is from Hashem and this is ultimately what's best for you. That's the prototype, that's the octave, that's what we're looking for. Now how do you get there? You get there by first telling yourself that that's so. You get the theory right. When somebody's nasty to you and somebody swears at you and somebody insults you, your first reaction is, pain, nakama, I'm going to get him back. No, stop and say, call me Shamayim. This is from Shemayim. You don't believe it, it's artificial, you're still angry, frustrated, you want to beat the guy to death, but slowly start telling yourself, I call it Tova, this is from Shashem, I call me Shemayim. Doesn't mean, now, I call me Shemayim and therefore I'm out of here, I don't have to do anything. No, you still have to do what you have to do, you still have to work on yourself, but we're trying to get to a darga, yeah, where I am completely the Yeshua Das and Ruchas and Nefesh, because I know, I call me Shemayim. I want to get to the ultimate toilet of Betochen. The ultimate, the piska of Betochen. The piska, the mahus of Betochen.
Why?
Why what? The ultimate, the Chovei Lavavitch says, what's the mahus of Betochen? The essence of Betochen? Hatoeles sheyesh la'ivid Hashem mea betochen la'soga shleimish betoir avoidus Hashem. Just explain that one of the things you need in order to be an Oivid Hashem is you need betochen in Hashem. He shall yadeishu botach belokav, by means of the fact that he has betochen in Hashem. Kamo she ha'evet chayv liftoyach ala doinov. Same as an evet has to have betochen on his master, because he has no one else. Yesh lo manuchas hanefesh mi'adaygas. He has complete tranquility and however you want to translate Malukas and Evish Miyadaigas, V'yuchol Litmaseh L'Avodis Hashem, and he's completely given over to Avodis Hashem. But Tochen frees you up to serve Hashem. When I have Yishuv Adas and Menuchas HaNefesh, and I know that whatever's happening to me is from Hashem and it's for my good, then I have Menuchas HaNefesh and Yishuv Adas to serve Hashem properly. That's the benefit, the ultimate essence of Betochen is, because what does Betochen mean? Betochen means a trust. When you're trusting, so then you have Yishuv Adas. When I trust my burglar alarm system and I go to sleep at night, I sleep peacefully because I trust the system that the guys aren't going to break into my house. When I don't trust the burglar alarm system, I don't need Yishuv Adas and I can't sleep properly. Trust, the it's not a benefit of Betochen. The essence of Betochen is, we shouldn't have Yishuv Adas.
How do you just pass the test without getting
you never just anything. Tests. You just never anything.
I told my Daniil, I don't want to, because if I pass the test, they're going to come harder.
So they get harder, yeah.
I don't want them harder. I just want to just like, how do I just like.
There's no just. You never just anything.
That's why I'm asking.
The word just has to go away. Nothing just anything. You know Nancy Reagan's famous just say no. That's how she stopped the drug problem in America. You got all the kids to just say no.
Work perfectly.
The word just is a terrible word. Get it out of your vocab when you're trying to change anything. You never just anything. You just never change anything. Change is long, hard work. But why don't I just stay where I am and be mediocre? Everybody has a desire inside himself to be good and better at something. Any kid, anybody has a desire to be good or better at something.
The reward for passing this test is going to be a harder, worse test.
Once again, guy wants to become a doctor. So he passes first year with a test reasonably easy. Now he knows when he gets into second year, it's going to get much harder. So why does he bother? Why does he bother? And when he gets to seventh year, it's now really hard. He wants to become a brain surgeon. He's going to sweat blood. Why does he do it? Because he wants what it... So that's always the question. Do I want what this path offers me? If you don't want it, you're not. Why are you going to go for it?
What's the pinnacle of Betochen? Yeah, Betochen and finished.
Have Betochen and finished? Okay. If you can do that, that's great. Just say no. Just have Betochen.
I didn't use the word just.
No, I'm using it. Because what you're saying there, lurking in that sentence is, I have Betochen, fine. If you're satisfied with the level of Betochen you have, fine. And stay there. I recognize in my life, I can't talk for anybody else. I recognize in my life that my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still lacking in many, many ways. And I would like to get closer and closer to Hashem. And I want to be able to rely on Him more and more. And I want to be able to internalize His reality more and more and more. And the only way I can do that is through avoidance of Betochen. So I'm prepared to mashkia, once again, not as much as I'm supposed to, I'm not doing it perfectly, and I slip up and whatever, but in theory, I want to get more and more closer to Hashem, and Betochen's the only way that I can do that.
Who says it's a ladder going this way? Maybe it's a ladder going this
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the directions are here. We're dealing with a spiritual system. We don't have directions. We use that as a marshal. In Kabbalah, they use the marshal deeper as opposed to higher. Fine, whatever. No, I'm using the language here loosely. Higher, deeper, broader, yeah. But that's my motivation to work on Betochen. Some people don't have a motivation to work on Betochen and they'll stay without it for the rest of their lives, never. And some people put more effort in and they work harder and they write Svarim and they master it. They're actually living with Hashem. That's what got me involved with this guy in the first place, because I saw someone actually had it real. Yeah. That's what the Chai Salah says.
Right.
Correct.
No pinnacles. Now I'm not free to do what I can do. So moving a negative.
It's the same as Simcha. Simcha is not a goal in and of itself. Simcha enables you to serve Hashem better. The goal is to be an Oivud Hashem. Allah Fanani. I can't do that without Betochen. And Imunah. And in this generation, there's a deeper problem here. The deeper problem is we don't have any deeper connection with anything spiritual at all. We live in a very black, material, physical world. Right? And even though we talk about Hashem and we see Hashem all over the Torah, we don't really see Him anywhere in our lives today. And as we get further and further from Sinai, from the Beis HaMikdash, as we get closer and closer to Mashiach, it's getting darker and darker. There's no zig of spirituality in the world either, anywhere. And therefore, a person needs to machazik tzaddik be'emunos chayichye, means you got to live imuna. To do that today, actually work. You don't walk outside and see 10 miracles. You don't walk outside and see millions of prophets. You walk outside and you see pitch black. You see Arabs and dogs.
So the only way to do it is by going through more difficult.
The world's getting more and more difficult, whether we like that or not. That's what's happening. Well, we're part of the world. We're going through dark tunnels at the moment.
Why is corruption getting darker?
Because it is. Empirical observable fact that things are getting worse and worse. Why do I say that theoretically based on Chazal? Because Chazal say that the darkest moment of the day is just before the dawn breaks. And we know that we're imminently at the breaking of the dawn. As we get further and further from Sinai, it gets darker and darker. We get less spiritual and more physical. In that darkness is the ultimate opportunity to become more spiritual than the Nevi'im. Rabbi Akiva was much greater in certain aspects than Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to learn the Sefer Genasi. Rabbi Akiva understood Torahs that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. Because Moshe Rabbeinu lived in a world of Torah. Rabbi Akiva lived in the world of darkness, of Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh takes us through darkness. Prophecy took us through the light, stage one. Rabbi Akiva took us through stage two, post-prophecy. Rabbi Akiva kicked in as prophecy ended. But why is it getting darker? Why is it getting darker? Because that's how Hashem created the world. How do I know it's getting darker? Because, for goodness sake.
If you look at the Middle Ages, I mean, it wasn't exactly roses and butterflies.
We were producing rashis. We had people walking around, hundreds and hundreds of gedolim walking around with Ruach HaKodesh. Who knew Kulu Torah Kulu, who had learned Kulu Torah Kulu from one person, who had a direct Messiah from Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have that anymore. We don't have anybody today walking around who has a direct unbroken Messiah from one person from Moshe Rabbeinu. That stopped by the Rishonim already.
We probably have spiritual.
I'm talking spiritual, what else? If you can even say that, you see how dark it's got. I'm talking about direct perception with reality. We live in a world where assimilation isn't a pain anymore. We live in a world where feminism rules rife. We live in a world where you have to close schools in England because boys and girls aren't going to know what they are anymore.
Yeah, but
that's not darkness.
I mean, they had Mosers that jeopardized entire countries.
Nachon. That was part of Ikfas and Mashiach. That was part of the darkening period in Achinami.
Meaning
Achinami. I'm not saying it was a bed of roses in the Middle Ages and now it's bad. That was also Ikfas and Mashiach. Went through terrible suffering in Yisurim. But they had a deep sense of who they were. Up to the First World War. From the First World War, it's just been getting progressively and progressively spiritually worse. You had your Moses. If a guy wanted to assimilate and become a Christian in those days, he had to leave town. Do you know they make you a rabbi? An Orthodox rabbi. I'm saying today there's no sense of immorality anymore. There's no sense of, I told you, I saw somebody getting arrested in outside my grandfather's shop in South Africa when I was a kid for walking the street without a shirt. He was arrested for public indecency. Today if you do that, they'll put the cop in jail for prejudice, wrongful arrest. Today you can walk around naked, no one's going to say anything. We live in a generation where mom and dad don't know whether the kids are boys and girls anymore. I'm not joking. You want to fill in a form, a government official form in Canada today? Male, female, other. I'm joking.
There's 17. There's
a whole list of others, yeah? The only thing they haven't done yet, and this is a big kasher on them, and that is they haven't got non-segregated bathrooms anymore, which I hold is discriminatory, and they should do away with segregated bathrooms. And they're going to. The reason why they haven't is still a pillar. It just shows you that there's a difference between men and women. No, you can't. If a boy goes into a girl's bathroom, there's a sign saying you can't kick him out. Because he may be one of you. That's what the sign says. And yeah, like, for goodness sake. There were perverts, there was perversion, there were terrible things going on in the Middle Ages, but there's a total breakdown in anything today. And those people had ideologies. Those people were persecuting the Jews for a reason.
Granted, I understand that.
No one's persecuting the Jews today.
Lower, but you know, if you look at this, there's a lot of spiritual awakening too, and you have more people are up than ever before.
That we have to understand as well in the light of this discussion. That you have to understand. There's a new light shining. There's a new light shining. That's how we became Balei Tshuva. Moshe Shapiro spoke about that. Rabbi Tetz has a book called Something Before the Dawn. It's just came out recently. He discusses that issue there. Balei Tshuva today are not Balei Tshuva. The Balei Tshuva is somebody who came back to somewhere where he was.
The Balei Tshuva. Just look at the issue as like, you know.
Can I tell you one thing? I'm going to give a share one day about it. 50,000 people learning Torah today aren't worth one guy that was learning Slobodka 200 years ago. Sorry. You're looking at the Kamut. That's also part of the spiritual breakdown.
It's getting darker and darker. In a way, it's pitch black.
It's getting darker and darker. It's getting darker and darker. You have Kamut, but you don't have Eichut. And we only want Eichut. Hillel was prepared to teach 100 guys Torah in order to get the one guy that he could fight. And when he found the one guy, the other 99 got discarded and he worked only with the one. I'm not knocking anything that's going on today, Baruch Hashem. We're doing the best we can and it's lovely. But anybody who saw the first base of Migdash saw the second one cried. I mean, people who didn't see the first base of Migdash saw the second one and they were happy. Wow, we got a base of Migdash, Yofi. And guys were sitting there crying. Anybody who understood what a Yid from the previous generation was and saw what hidden were from the previous generation were, okay, to what we have today, you can upset from crying. You can be shattered. I'm not trying to make you depressed here, but we need to know the thing called Eurystotus.
I'm just wondering if it's a true statement.
You're picking up 100% true statement. You're picking up something which is very profound, and that is that there's a new light shining. There's some people that have already stepped into the new world, and that's where that light shining. But in the old world, it's very dark. And you see it. You meet people from the old world, no matter how frum they are, there's almost no light left in them. How old's your oldest kid? Okay, wait a while. Come talk to me when he hits about 10.
You have the I'll show you what I'm
doing. You didn't count people that are working with your kids.
I do.
People back then, you're saying nobody ever, you know.
Sure, that'd be great.
First off,